Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 26th through July 6th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only, some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Jeremy and Joe continues now
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios located at Tom's Watch Bar. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Sarge in for Joe today. 713-780-3776. We are Tom's Watch Bar. Great spot to come hang out after work, have a drink, watch your soccer, have some food. Good food here. Brian had the lemon pepper stepper wings. He said they were very good.
Very good.
Always like to get the opposite ends of the spectrum, right?
Yeah.
I like to know the range of things. Junkie, I like this Sarge guy. Keep him. Another junkie. Who is this clown co-hosting? They might be talking about me, though. They didn't.
It could go either
clarify.
Way. Yeah, it could go either way.
It could be me there.
Junkie means they're on something.
Junk.
No, I'm just saying. Maybe. Like, with that take, it sounds like he may be.
Depending on the context.
Right. Well, junkies, what we call our dozens and dozens of
junkie.
Listeners.
Oh, I thought he was like one of the guys from Breaking Bad.
He might be.
You think he's Jesse?
Which guy from Breaking Bad?
Yeah, anyone.
Yeah. So this is where the pushback on my developed talent thing would go. Like, you just talked about how good Alpi Shingun is. He was drafted in the teens. That's pretty good player development. Amin Thompson's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
He was third pick.
Yeah.
Pretty good player development.
Ah.
No. If those guys are good, how'd they get good?
So, Alpi's getting better. So, when you look at Amin, though, Amin is just he's a freak of nature.
He is a freak of nature. Fourth pick in the draft,
yeah,
too, by the way.
So he's an athlete. So, you look at it like this, right? So, when you look at him, and he's the fourth pick in the draft, and you're saying to yourself, okay, so he should be able to do this, that, and the other. When they put him in a dunker spot, you know, that's the first time he's ever played that in his entire life. He's always been a point guard for his entire career. He's always been the point. And so when they moved him to the dunker spot, he'd never played there before, but he thrived there. And the reason why I said that he thrived there is because he's like, it was new to me. I had to get used to it. He said, but I love playing basketball, so I adjusted. And then when they moved him from there, like, they kept moving him around and around. And then even this year, he got a lot of pushback by the way that he played the point guard position this year. But I'm saying this is his first year ever playing point guard in the NBA.
But he's played his whole life.
But in the NBA, that's different.
I don't think he's a point guard.
Yeah,
I think he's capable of handling backup point guard duty. I don't think he's a starting point guard in the NBA. I think the reason that he thrived in the dunker spots because that's his best spot offensively. I think offensively he's a four.
So when you look at it though, like he could use more help in his jump shot. Right?
Oh, for sure.
But I believe that he could be a player when you look at a player like Jason Kidd, when you look at a player like we talked about LeBron earlier, like
I don't think he's got like the true point guard attributes to be like that.
Well, we haven't seen it though. That's what I'm saying.
In his career, I get
it would be his rookie career. But you talk about LeBron when he first came to the league. LeBron wasn't a strong shooter either. He just developed that over time. And when you look at him,
he was okay. He was okay. Like Amin's horrendously bad.
Amin improved a lot this year.
What do you shoot from three? Like in the teens?
See, and that's where we go back to these analytical type
things. But that's my point of why I don't think he's a guard. Well, I mean, sure, it's analytical, but if you can't hit 20% of your threes, I don't think you're a perimeter player.
Yeah, true. I don't think it – but how many point guards are perimeter players?
All of them. They play on the perimeter.
You're not understanding what I'm saying. Point guard's job is to get everybody else involved, right?
Sure, but they need to knock down a three. And if they can score, that helps your
offense.
It
doesn't have to be a three. He has to get a bucket.
Well, if you knock down a three, it helps your spacing.
Yeah, true. But how many points did Amin average? 20 points this year?
Amin scores.
And when you look at him in the playoffs, was he not the best Rockets player on the floor?
Those are different conversations. I don't disagree with you.
So what I'm saying, from the regular season, he improved. From the playoffs, he improved. And so you look at those guys. So even if you're getting 20-plus points from a guy who can't shoot, now imagine once he does develop a jump shot, now what are you getting from him?
Well, see, that's my fear, is I don't think he's ever going to develop a perimeter jump shot. I really don't. I really don't. I think his career high in three-point shoot, like in a year, I think he's going to be – I think he'll be lucky to be a 30% three-point shooter one season in his NBA career.
So can I side note us for a second and ask both of you all a question?
Sure.
You know how they keep saying in the NBA, hey, man, you got to have shooters, you got to have shooters, you got to have shooters. How many teams in the NBA actually have shooters? We watched a team win We watched a team win the finals this year. They don't have strong three-point shooters.
I mean, Cat can shoot three.
He can.
Brunson shoots three.
They can, but they want it old-fashioned way. They did a lot of driving to the basket, a lot of bully ball, hitting threes when it counted. They hit threes when they had to come back. But for the most part, and then
the Knicks were fourth this year in the NBA in 3-point percentage. Fourth.
But how did they win the finals? They didn't win the finals by shooting threes. And how many did they attempt?
They were 12th in the league in attempts.
So what I'm saying is, how many teams like
It's above average.
How many teams have shooters, like two or more shooters in the NBA?
I would say a good amount.
Most teams that make the playoffs have at least two shooters.
I think a good amount do. Yeah,
I don't think so. So name them. Okay, I'll put it like this.
Hulk, I mean, I don't have the.
Okay, so Golden State, you got Curry, and then who else is a consistent 3-point shooter?
I mean,
for them?
Well, the Golden State Warriors led the NBA in 3-point shooting. Well, 3-point attempts. They did not 3-point shooting. They were a little bit further down.
There's one team that I can name you right now off the rip that has two good 3-point shooters. That's the Charlotte Hornets. In Con Knipple and LaMelo Ball. Both of those guys, I think Con Knipple hit the most 3-pointers this year, and I think LaMelo
Lakers
was number two.
Luka and Reeves.
I mean, Golden State had four players that attempted at least five threes a game that shot 37% or better.
So when
that's pretty good.
That's not really good. What did they end up with? What was their record?
But you're sitting here touting a man who shot 21%.
I'm not touting a man. See how you're trying to move that goalpost?
I was just pulling a move from you.
No, that's not a move for me.
I was borrowing a Sarge.
I learned that from Jeremy. But with that being said.
Well, you asked me how many shooters a Golden State had. 37% from three, the Rockets would kill for that.
How many attempts?
At least five or more a game.
That's not a lot in the amount. I'll put it like this. How many?
But that's a good shooting team. You were asking for two.
They have five.
Or four.
So, name them.
Podeszewski, however you say that guy's name. Steph Curry.
Uh-huh.
Moses Moody.
Uh-huh.
And L.J. Cryer. Now, Cryer did it in 18 games. He didn't play that much.
So.
Go Cougs.
So maybe I need, look.
But also, like, Steph Curry, 48%, 2.5 threes.
My wife would be
didn't
so.
Play many games.
My wife would be so proud of me right now. She's listening because my wife's an attorney. I say that a lot, right? So I know how to argue in semantics. How about this?
I don't think you're winning this argument.
Consistent shooters is what I'm saying. When you look at teams,
they have four.
Look at Charlotte.
Okay.
When I say consistent, I'm talking about LaMelo and Con Knipple.
Yeah, but
those
now you're talking about
are,
one of the best 3-point shooting teams in the league.
And that's what I'm saying.
But we weren't talking about the best 3-point shooting teams in the league. We're asking how many teams have good shooters.
Yeah, when I say shooters, I'm talking about consistently. That's what I'm talking about.
I think you're saying the best in the league.
Con and LaMelo, when I look at them, I'm saying those are the two consistent guys. When I'm watching Dylan Harper.
LaMelo, by the way, you just poo-pooed at 37%. Well, LaMelo wasn't even a 37% three-point shooter.
How many did he hit?
He hit 3.8 a game.
How many did he hit?
I told you. He hit 3.8
overall,
a game.
Overall, who was first and who was second?
In the league in 3-point.
Yeah.
Why am I doing your research?
You're not doing my research. I'm telling
These
you.
These are billable hours, Sarge.
At
Jeremy-Brown on
Venmo. I didn't
change
it. What I'm telling
you
is.
You went from consistency, which would be percentage, to volume.
Volume is consistency.
It's, no. Well, it depends on how you're looking at it.
Right.
Yeah, and I agree with you on that.
Come on, Brown, like I need you to.
You're looking at it from a shooting percentage. He's looking at it from, like, three-pointers made per game. You are looking at it from two different lenses.
Okay.
I see what you are both saying.
So that's all I'm saying is that I don't think that there's a lot of teams. And there's a lot of teams who are looking for that. And so when you look at even –
I think every team looks for that in 2026 in the NBA.
When you look at the Rockets, right, you know who the – 2 years ago before they traded Jalen Green and Dylan Brooks, who were their best three-point shooters?
Before they traded?
Jalen Green and Dylan Brooks were their best three-point shooters, and they traded them away.
In the season where they lost to the Warriors?
Yes. They were their best.
Red was probably up there. Yeah, Jabari was probably up there.
So getting back to the Rockets.
Yeah, they need shooting.
Yeah, they definitely need shooting.
On that we agree.
Yes.
That we agree.
And they need to run more. They need to run more of a Golden State's offense for Reed. What they run for Curry, they need to run him off of a lot of.
I'm okay with that.
He's a catch and shoot guy. He's a really good catch and shoot.
I don't think he's a chop you up. I think he got better as the season went along. But I think he's more off screen.
Why are you putting him at the top of the key trying to make him create? That's Klay
Thompson. Because they didn't have point guard help.
That is true.
Yeah, it's almost out of necessity.
That, like, Curry can also beat guys off the dribble if he has to. Like, yeah. I don't see that from Reed.
So what I'm saying,
he got better there, but it's not his game.
Yeah.
What the offense I'm saying is that run him off of a lot of screens. If they run him off of a lot of screens, they'll do a lot of catch
that,
and shoot.
That gets back to Ime, right? Like, the offensive creativity isn't there.
I think it was tough for him to do that this year, though.
Yeah.
Because of their lack of point guard play.
Maybe,
like,
yeah.
they had to have him as a point guard because they had no, like, it was him and Amin. So whenever he was on the floor, he wasn't really playing with another point guard.
Yeah.
So he was having to play out of position, so that kind of took that out of their disposal. Now, if they do that next year with a point guard, then that's an issue. I think this year was more out of necessity. That's why I'm willing to give Ime the benefit of the doubt on that.
Yes.
But if it happens with true point guard play, then that's whenever it becomes an issue for me as well. Because I do think that would help Reed.
Yeah, because you got KD initiating the offense. And that's not what he does.
No, he can't handle a double team.
Yeah. Especially because he's getting older.
No, he can't.
Like, he's getting old. He's been in the league 19 years. And so at that point, you're like, okay.
He played as a Seattle Sonic. That's how old KD is.
For sure, for sure.
NBA draft yesterday. I hate how the way the NBA handles trades. Why is it so hard to just be like, hey, this is the trade.
So
let's give them the right hat. Like, we say this every year. Like, it must be like a physical thing. But it would be easier, I think, to fix in post-production.
It's because they don't start the league year before the draft. But
yeah.
I don't know why the NFL seems to figure it out. You literally have dudes that are sitting there on the table saying this trade has happened.
Right.
Like, why can't you just be like, it's reported trade. Here's the right hat.
I've got a picture with Rudy Gay wearing a Rockets
it's
hat.
It's so annoying.
The point.
I can't stand it. But DeBonta goes number one. No surprise to me. I would have drafted him one if I had the first pick. I like his game a lot. Peterson went two. Shout out Big 12. Look at the Big 12 going 1-2. Look at that. Best basketball conference in the world.
Best?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Them outside of the NBA?
Them in the Big Ten. Yeah, outside of the NBA. Boozer 3, Caleb Wilson 4. Stop me whenever you want to talk about somebody. Wogler 5.
Let's go with number one.
All right, what do you like DeBonta or no?
I do. Oh, I love his game. I honestly and truly love his game. I love everything about it. So I guess my question would be, so you're bringing him in, but you're also bringing him in with two prima donnas. So how does that work? Do you keep?
And they re-signed Trae Young. They extended him.
And so now what happens to Anthony Davis?
I think you play it out for a while and then figure it out later.
I guess he's going to get a lot of playing time because Anthony Davis is going to be hurt anyway, right?
I think he'll play regardless. He can play the three.
Yeah.
I think they're a playoff team.
Right now?
Yeah.
Hmm. Play in?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I can see play in.
But
I
think they'll be. I think. But I think there's a chance they're not even a play in. I think there's a chance they just make the real thing. I think Trae Young's actually underrated.
That's assuming how many games from Anthony Davis, though, is the issue.
That's a swing.
If he gives you 60 games, I'm with you.
I like DeBonta, though. I think DeBonta can average 17 points a game in his rookie year.
For sure.
I think
you got a chance to watch him up close.
Yeah, he's good.
Because he's a three-level scorer.
He's not as good a shooter as Darren Peterson. So, like, I see the allure in Peterson.
Yeah.
Like, Peterson, to me, is probably the best shooter in this draft. But he can also get to the basket.
Yeah.
I see a little bit of, the high-end Darren Peterson comp for me is Ray Allen.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a high comp.
It's high-end player comp. Yeah. Like, they never hit their player comps. I'm talking about, like, best-case scenario.
Gotcha. Okay.
Hit this player comp.
Can shoot and get to the basket.
Yeah, he's really good. But he's also, like, does he love basketball? You know, that whole ordeal with him at Kansas, like, didn't play early in the year. They said it was cramps because he took too much creatine.
Yeah.
Which creatine's great for your cognitive.
Is it?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
You should take 10 grams a day.
Wow. Yeah. But I was going to say this with the Darren Peterson pick with Utah. I think that the Utah Jazz is going to be next year's version of the San Antonio Spurs. Maybe not get to the finals, but they're going to be really good. They got a lot of pieces
they
over
Jaren
there.
Yeah, Jaren Jackson. They got Laurie Markkanen.
I would say it's not quite the ceiling as the Spurs.
Huh?
I don't think it's close to the ceiling as the Spurs.
Don't they got Keontae George?
Yeah.
Sure, but I don't think that they have the ceiling of the Spurs. I'm with you that I like their build and I like their future. I don't think they have a superstar like the Spurs.
Well, maybe Peterson is
unless
a superstar
guy,
in training.
Yeah.
I mean, because you got the pieces around him for them to be really,
be,
really good. I think they're going to surprise a lot of people this year.
I think they're closer to the Mavs than they are the Spurs.
I like the Mavs.
With, like, their young talent. I like the Mavs' young talent, too. That's kind of the scary stuff about the Rockets. It's like, you have some young, up-and-coming teams. Like, OKC and San Antonio are already better than you.
Yep.
But they're also younger than you.
Yep.
So, like, you're in this weird thing where you're older than them, you want to win, but you're not as good as them, and there's nothing out there to make you as good as them. But then you have, like, these young teams in the West that are also coming quickly. And
Utah.
Dallas. So, it's like, they're in a weird spot. I don't love the spot the Rockets are in.
I don't either. And that's what I'm saying. It's like, you know, at some point you got to start developing your own talent.
I mean, I think they try, Sarge. I think they try to develop their own guys.
I definitely understand
that. I mean, Alpi Şengün's a two-time All-Star.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that guy was picked in the teens. Like, that's a win. Alpi Şengün is a win of a draft pick.
I just look at it when, you know what I'm saying, like, I understand you had to get rid of Jalen Green because you're getting a generational talent in Kevin Durant. If that's what they wanted, okay, I got that. But, man, I just felt like he was getting himself prepared to be able to take that next step and that next level. And they would have been able to keep him. I think that you would have seen that. And so that's what I'm saying. Like, so now, you know, if you got to get rid of all these other trade talks, if you're going to develop Reed, develop our man, keep developing.
I'm with you,
Jabari.
I don't want to trade the young guys for the sake of trading young guy.
Yeah.
And I also want to keep the draft picks that they have because I think that they need to keep their eye on the future because they're at best the third best team in the West.
The bench needs to get younger too.
I'm okay with that. Yeah. Younger, maybe better shooters.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough to do, though, because they're financially, you know, constrained.
Yeah.
Bitch gets a little bit better just by getting guys back, but I hear your point.
Yeah. Junkie says the offense will look better with Fred VanVleet. I think so, but, like, how much better?
Well, Fred's a true point guard, so he's going to know how to get people in place but also be able to do what he needs to do. And I think that a lot of people underestimate Fred can really play good defense.
I'm with you on all of that. If Fred VanVleet is the same player that he was pre-injury – can they beat San Antonio in a seven-game series? Can they beat Oklahoma City in a seven-game series?
Fully healthy?
Yes.
With what team? With this team currently constructed?
Yeah. I don't think there's anything they can do in the offseason to catch those teams.
It's going seven.
See, I'm not as optimistic.
Yeah, I think it's going seven.
Okay. A couple Cougars drafted last night. Go Cougs.
Yeah.
Go Cougs. Kingston Flemings goes to Atlanta. So I'm an Atlanta fan now. I'll be rooting for Atlanta.
You going to get a Flemings Hawks jersey?
No, I don't do jerseys.
All right. Just testing the fandom.
And then Chris Sinak goes to Boston. So congratulations to those young men as they begin their career.
Maybe they can get him in a trade.
Maybe Chris Sinak throw him.
Hey, if the Rockets make a trade, maybe they can get him too.
Yeah. So is there anything that you look in the first round, you're like, ooh, I love that.
So Kingston Flemings, I like that. And I think that that he's going down there. C.J. McCollum is a really good player to learn under. And, you know, outside of Peterson, I thought that he has – the next upside as far as the guards is concerned. That young man, and Jeremy, you watched him play way, way more than I did. I was only able to catch the games on television, and we all know that it's a difference in watching it on television and watching it live. And so before I continue to give my take about that, when you seen him, did you know that he was a first-round talent right off the rip first game?
Yeah. Yeah. He's got a different burst. The level of speed that he plays at is different.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, you look at his speed and the quickness that he plays the game, you're like, okay, that's different. Yeah. And I mean, I've seen a lot of NBA players, right?
Yep.
You know, I've seen some NBA players over the last 10 years or whatever. His first step, his burst is quicker than just about everybody I've seen at the college level. Like he would get, not that he's going to be this kind of player, but his speed and athleticism and burst, he would get comps like Russell Westbrook with that sort of burst, Derrick Rose with that sort of burst before, you know, the knee injuries.
Yep.
Not to say he's going to be those kind of players.
Yeah.
But he's a freak athlete. And he shot it really well this year. His form isn't the best. People kind of question his form. But he shoots it better than you would think because of his form. Great at getting to the rim. I think he's a true point guard, too. Like, he can do both. He can score. But I think he's got more of a mindset of a true point guard. His defense got way better, obviously, being under Kelvin Sampson. I think he's going to be a really good pro. Sinak, I think Sinak's going to be a good pro, too. I think he's more of a role player type, though. Like, I don't see Sinak being, like, a multi-time all-star. I think he's more of, like, a 3-and-D guy, big man who can rebound really well.
Jabari Smith, yeah.
I think Jabari's got a little bit more athleticism than Sinak.
So, I was talking with someone right before the draft, a former NBA player, and they said that when they look at him, they can
Sinak.
They can see the potential, but they say that he doesn't look like he works hard.
Oh,
enough.
That's a lie.
I'm just
incredibly
telling you,
hard worker.
Yeah, so I'm just telling you. They said that he looks sometimes on the court. He doesn't look like he's going full speed.
I think that speaks to his fluidity.
Yeah,
like he's not an extreme elite athlete.
Yeah,
like he's not a dude who's gonna, you know, he's not a blazer. He's not a dude with, like, you know, a 58-inch vertical.
Yeah.
I know that's not real. But he's a good enough athlete. He's really long. He's a really good rebounder.
Yeah.
And he's got He's got an incredibly good touch that hasn't all materialized yet.
Gotcha.
Like, he was kind of streaky as a shooter his freshman year. He would have games where he couldn't miss, but then he would have games where he couldn't make.
Yeah.
So I think there's going to be the consistency. I think he'll find the consistency because his touch is really good. But he's automatically going to give you good touch from the perimeter in a 6'10 frame that's a really good rebounder.
Yeah.
Like, so he's got a place in the league for 15 years.
And this is why I think that, going back to Kingston Flemings real quick, the reason why I like him with the Atlanta Hawks is because the Atlanta Hawks has a really good nucleus of players that he's joining. And he may be some of the missing piece to help get them over the hump. And what I mean by over the hump is maybe be a little bit more successful in the Eastern Conference, you know, maybe able to win a playoff series. But you're putting him with Nickeil Alexander-Walker. You're putting him with Dyson Daniels. And I don't know how long – they got Jalen Johnson. I don't know how long they're going to keep Kuminga, but you have him with McCollum. And so – and then you have you know, I can't pronounce his name. Zachariah?
Oh, yeah, the first pick a few years ago?
Yes.
Yeah, I can't say his name either.
Yeah,
AJ's got it. Say it again, AJ.
Richardson?
AJ took French, though, so it's kind of like cheating.
But so that's what I'm saying, that Kingston is going to a really good team. I don't know.
That needs a point guard, too, I think.
So Sinat going to Boston for as many threes as they shoot, can he shoot the three?
He can shoot the three, yeah.
Yeah, he's streaky, but he can shoot it.
Yeah, I think he needs to find consistency. I think it's a hard rotation to crack, too. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if Sinat doesn't play a whole lot his rookie year. Kind of a developmental piece. But, I mean, size, good rebound, and good shooting. Like, you know, there's always a place for that in the NBA. I like what Oklahoma City did, Mara. Drafting him at number 12. They're going to be having a lot of battles with San Antonio. And you're putting a 7'4 guy with strength that can also develop a shot to go up against Wimby. Like, I think that was a sharp pick. The Bennett Sturts, I'm surprised they drafted Bennett Sturts.
Really good pick.
People are higher on Bennett Sturts than I am.
So, okay. I don't know. Jeremy, you may be too young to remember this. Maybe Brian remembers this. Wait, who's
only 2 years difference.
So both of y'all are too young to remember this. Do any of you all remember who Reuben Patterson is?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What was Reuben Patterson's nickname?
He was somebody's stopper.
The
was
Kobe stopper, stopper, right?
Stopper, yeah,
so you
yeah.
remember that he had his feet in ice, and one of his teammates, I think it was Sean, Sean Kemp was saying Kobe stopper, right?
And then, what'd you call him?
Sean Kemp.
What'd you say before that? You said the something.
Kobe stopper.
No, you said something before you said Sean Kemp. Whatever.
I couldn't remember. Well, I could, you know, really talk about his other endeavors, but. Sean Kemp was calling him the Kobe stopper, and so they kept calling. And then Kobe destroyed him.
Yeah,
Kobe destroyed him on it and made it his purpose. And so this guy coming in, I mean, cool. You're tall, but can you hold Wimby? And I don't think that you're bringing him in and you're saying, okay, let's go ahead and just throw him out there, because Wimby's going to say, okay, so first I need to see what type of defense you can play for me from 3-point line. And then, if not, I can take you off the dribble, because Wimby is a really good dribbler for his size, and he can get to the rim for his size.
Yeah, I don't think he's a good dribbler, though.
What I mean that he can – for his size, like he's, when you look at Kevin Durant, for his size to be able to get to the rim like he can.
Yeah, but you know what's great? Like, I see what you're – I agree with you.
Yeah.
But whenever you're driving to the basket, like, the defenders that are defending you aren't like, you're a good dribbler for your size. Like, you're a good dribbler trying to get to the rim. I don't think he's a good dribbler. Like, for his size, he's really good. Yes, I get that, because there's not many 7'4" dudes who can dribble like Wimby.
So that's
what
I mean.
But I don't think it's effective when he's playing a game, because he gets ripped.
He doesn't get.
I don't think he's a great slasher to the basket.
Not a slasher. I didn't say slasher.
Right, but
what
else are you using your dribble?
If you're going to face him straight up, once he gets by you with the first dribble and that first step, that long first step, he gets to the rim, and he's at the rim with you behind him.
That's true.
So
he's just not like Garnett or Akeem with his handle, you know?
Now, this is when you talk about trade. Now I'm bringing Hardenstein home. I'm asking, hey,
they're
what
not
do y'all
trade him.
What do y'all want for Isaiah?
They wouldn't want to trade him.
Because now you got Chet, you got
Mara's their backup five. Chet sucks.
Chet, yeah.
I can't stand Chet Holmgren.
Why?
Because he's soft. He's so weak.
Softer than tissue paper.
I can't stand weak basketball players. Like, this is why I like the Mara pick, because they don't need height. Height helps. Height helps, so height obviously helps. But to me, to stop Wimby, you need more strength than you do height. I thought we saw it in the last two rounds of the playoffs.
Mitchell Robinson.
Chet could not stop Wimby, even though he could get close to his height, right?
Yep.
But he's so weak physically.
No muscle.
How did Wimby have trouble against the Knicks? Because they were bullying him. They were putting their shoulders in his chest.
Yep.
They were pushing. They were getting rebounds off missed free throws because they were using strength against Wimby.
For sure.
So, like, I think that the way to counter Wimby's strength more than height helps, always helps. And Mara provides strength for them. But I still think he's a backup five next year. I don't think that – I don't think they're going to trade Hartenstein going into next year because they drafted Mara.
So, with that being said, when you got both of them on the court, can they go double big like what the Rockets did with Adams and Şengün? They can go
with
double
Mara
big.
With Mara and Hartenstein?
Yeah. Mara and Chet.
I think we'll see it at times.
Because that's two seven-footers on the floor at the same time. And that's a lot of rim protection, at least.
For sure. So, Mara's a great rim protector. I like that pick.
Yeah.
Low-key, I like the Cameron Carr pick to the Lakers, too. I think he's a really good – to me, high-end upside for Cameron Carr. I think he is Trevor Ariza with a better shot.
Really?
And I think it's a really good fit. I think he's a really good role player. Yeah, I like his game a lot.
What?
He's not going to be like a superstar. He might not even be an all-star. But he's just one of those dudes who plays 12 years in the NBA, and he's always on winning teams.
Yeah, I can see that.
I like that pick a lot. Go ahead.
I like Keaton Wagler, too.
I like Wagler's game
Wagler,
a lot.
Excuse me. Yeah, Wagler.
I think he's Klay Thompson with a dribble.
Yeah. You know who really won?
I like him a lot.
I know we got to go to the break, but you know who really won last night?
Who?
Dads.
Okay.
Because
what about moms?
Because of all the juniors?
No. Because, you
special
know, in,
moment.
In the past, it was like, oh, this guy comes from such a broken home. His mom was a single parent working two jobs. You know, she had to collect cans on the side as well. He spent a lot of time with his grandmother. Her dad was never around. But then last night, when was it Lisa Salters that was doing the interviews?
Yeah, she did the interviews.
Yeah, you see her. So who was on the couch? It was player, dad, and mom. And I was like, look at that, man. Highlight the dads, too, sometimes.
I'm going to take this like you're hating on the moms.
Nah. So
why not parents?
Well, they were black dads, Jeremy. This is a conversation we have to have off air.
I see what he's saying.
Yeah. A bunch of
they
black
weren't
dads
all, though.
Not all, but the majority.
I saw a lot of mixed. You notice that?
Yeah.
I noticed a lot of mixed couples, which nothing wrong with that. We live in, you know, the United States of America.
But
we're
even with
diverse.
The mix, it was what? Black dads. Jeremy, that's something. Hey, that's a
couple. Who was the guy? There was one couple that had a black mom and a white dad. I think it was Ament. You remember that?
I don't.
I think it was Ament. Am I right about that, AJ?
I think so, I believe so.
Yeah, I think he had a black mom and a white dad. That it matters, just pointing it out.
I was going back and forth. The Las Vegas Aces were playing the New York Liberty last night.
It's time to go to break. 713-780-3776.
Big Becky Hammond guy?
Huh?
You big Becky Hammond guy?
For sure.
For sure.
A Las Vegas Aces?
I got some guys I want for the Rockets in the second round.
Okay.
Because they have two second round draft picks. Not that they're going to use them. But I have some guys that are on my list, the Branham list. Who are on yours? Who's on your list? 713-780-3776. Sarge in for Joe. It's Jeremy and Joe live from Tom's Watch Bar on ESPN 97.5. Watch a little football. You can watch a little football over at Federal American Grill as well, the downtown location. Only a few blocks from where we're at, 1221 McKinney Street. Catch the excitement of the soccer tournament at Federal American Grill's downtown location. They got live music starting daily at 5. They have 7 100-inch TV screens for game viewing. Those are big. Live stream of all the matches, free souvenir cup, free welcome drink, food for purchase. Now, you do have to have reservations. TheFederalGrill.com, make your reservations now, $10 cover fee. Now, there's also a VIP experience for all of you, $85 per person. This includes access to a private patio, private TVs, dedicated server for the VIP section, free welcome cocktail, three-course prefix menu, free souvenir cup, and free Don Julio 1942 mini bottle. Put it in your plans to watch your football. Also put it in your plans to attend the Summer Sunset Social Hour. Federal American Grill is extending Social Hour all summer long, and they're naming it the Summer Sunset Social Hour. 3 p.m. until sunset every single day. That's what we say in the summer, man. That sun just never goes down. Well, now it's a good thing at Federal American Grill because that means happy hour is extended. This is available at all six of their Houston area locations, Shepherd, Hedwig Village, Katy, the Woodlands, downtown, River Oaks as well. You're going to enjoy $10 appetizers, $7 cocktails, wines, $5 beers, and you're going to love it. Don't be stuck in traffic. Head over to Federal American Grill and have some great vibes, times, food, drink at the Summer Sunset Social Hour at Federal American Grill, where exceptional food meets Southern hospitality.
ESPN 97.5. It's Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at Tom's Watch Bar. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Awesome time here at Tom's Watch Bar. The people are here to see the Brazilians play soccer. They're all here in their Brazilian kits. It's an awesome spot here, though, right in the heart of downtown. Good food, good drinks, good times. Come hang out with us. We'll be here until 6, but always your spot to watch some football. Tomorrow, we're going to be at Ducky McSweeney's. We'll also be giving out a $500 gift certificate to Republic Food Company. And then on Friday, By the Wayside. I love the name of that, By the Wayside. So that's where we'll be on Friday. Your chance to come hang out with us. Come on through. We'd love to see you. All right, 713-780-3776. Junkie says shout out to Kareem Lopez, first Mexican to go in the first round. That is pretty cool.
Yeah, it is.
That is very cool. There has been a Mexican drafted before, but it was in the second round. Can you name that Mexican?
Jaime Jaquez?
Nope.
Alvarado?
I don't think he's a Mexican.
Really?
I don't think so, no.
Okay.
Not like Mexican-born, I think, is what the
– Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, Mexican-born. No.
Wait, no. I was going to say Luis Scola.
No, he's Argentina. He's from Argentina. Yeah.
Was he drafted?
Scola? Yeah, it was the second round pick by the Spurs.
Okay, I couldn't remember if he was drafted or
not. Who was it that played for the Mavericks? J.J. Yeah. Barea?
No, it's not Barea, but he was a Maverick.
Oh.
He was also coached by Kelvin Sampson in college.
Oh, gosh.
Just
tell me.
Eduardo Nájera.
Oh, Nájera, yes.
Okay.
Samson says that Nájera was the baddest dude on the planet.
Really?
Like, you didn't mess with Eduardo Nájera.
Okay.
That's what I always heard. He's told the story on air. He says that, you know, there's some guys, whenever they get in fights, you just let them fight.
Yep.
Because they can take care of themselves?
No, because you know they're not going to do any damage.
Oh, okay.
Like, there's guys that go at it, like, okay, you kind of want to see it, right?
Yep.
You want to make them a little bit of a dog. So, like, there's guys that, whenever they get in a fight, you let them go. You're like, whatever. You want to toughen them up a little bit. So you never let an Eduardo Nájera fight go.
Oh, I can imagine.
Because he would do some damage.
I can imagine. For sure.
No, but that was a really cool story. Yeah, Eduardo Nájera, a couple of junkies got it. Rocky says, Braden Smith, you were a rocket. I don't know if that's a fit. He's not a defensive-minded guy. Very small. Very, very small. Kind of older, too. I don't think Braden Smith's going to be a rocket.
Well, but so... Okay, so here's my thing, right? I get it. I understand. But at some point, you're just going to have to look at it and say, okay, he doesn't play defense, but can he score? Is he good on the offensive end? We can make up for some.
More of a true point guard. More of a distributor than a scorer.
So we can make up for some of the defensive liabilities on the other end. We got some guys that got you back. But
I don't know if he has NBA athleticism.
Why?
Because he doesn't have NBA athleticism.
I'm saying, why do you say that?
Because he's not overly fast. He's not very big, and he doesn't jump that high.
Just like, say he's white.
Well, no, that's not it, because I think there's white guys that do have that stuff.
They probably would have said that about John Stockton.
I don't think they would have said that about Stockton. Stockton was a great athlete. Stockton was very quick,
he didn't
very
jump
fast.
Very high.
No, he didn't jump very high, but he was very quick, very fast.
Looked very fast.
Very twitchy.
Braden Smith is twitchy. He's twitchy. Come on now. Don't say that, Jeremy. Don't say he's not twitchy.
I just don't think he's a very good athlete. I really don't.
So
I think he's a solid. I don't even know he's a backup point guard in the NBA.
So I didn't watch very many
of his
games.
Really good college point guard.
Can he shoot?
He can shoot a little bit.
He's with Purdue?
Yeah.
I watched him, but I didn't like Purdue because I didn't like their center, I think it was.
You talking about Trey Kaufman-Wren?
Yes. He was nothing but a bully. Like, you're not even playing basketball, bro. You're just bullying
He's
people.
A little Chuck Hazy.
Yeah.
I think he should go to the NFL, actually.
And so
I mean that sincerely.
Play tight end?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, he'll get a chance in the NBA, though, TKR will. He's kind of like... He's got a little bit more skill than Joey Dorsey, but he's kind of Joey Dorsey-ish.
Yeah, Joey Dorsey, I wouldn't say had much skill at all.
Yeah, he's more skilled.
A rebounder.
He's more skilled than Dorsey, but he is – Sarge is right. He kind of plays bully ball, but I kind of like bully ball. I'm a fan of bully ball. So I do have some names that I would like for the Rockets. And obviously, you know, Emmanuel Sharpe, Milo Juzan are at the very top of this list.
And that's all I got for you.
Emmanuel Sharpe, I think, would be a really good 3-and-D guy in the NBA. A little undersized to be a 3-and-D guy.
Yeah.
He's not a 6'6 wing, which a lot of guys like. And it might take him out of the Rockets equation because the Rockets like wings with size.
Yeah.
You know, they don't like wings that are 6'4. And Emmanuel Sharpe, 6'4, not 6'6. But Sharpe, I think, is going to carve out another long career in the NBA, be a 3-and-D guy. He's going to play really good defense. Now, he doesn't have a height. He's got really good defense, and I think he's going to be a really good three-point shooter in the NBA. He's a really good three-point shooter in college. I think he's going to be a better three-point shooter in the NBA than college, actually, because I think his shot selection will be better. You know,
I
college,
was going to ask you about that, because the one complaint I would have about his game is he could be
yeah.
Chucker sounds offensive.
But I think, he had no hesitation
in college.
But I think he needed to have that at Houston, because like, you needed his scoring, you know?
Yeah,
so I had no problem with his shot selection at Houston, because he was needed to be taking those shots. I think he won't do that in the NBA. So I think his shooting percentage will actually go up in the NBA because of his shot selection. But outside of the Houston guys, Isaiah Evans from Duke is a guy who I think can be a Tari Eason replacement. Should they move on from Tari Eason? Where are you with Tari Eason?
No, I think they should bring Tari back. Because I don't think that Tari – so Tari started off the year. Not only was Tari injured, but, I mean, you know, he was still – he was mentally in his own head, and he even admitted that. He admitted that he was in his own head, you know, not just because of the contract stuff, but also he lost his father. And so you look at the things like – you look at the things like that, you're hoping that he'll have a great offseason comeback and buys in because – you know, I think even before he had that injury, he was, like, one of the best. I think he was top five three-point shooters at the time, right?
He was shooting that corner three.
Until March.
Yeah, shooting that corner
three. I think he led the NBA for a while.
Yeah, he was really, really good. And so I would bring him back, but it's just – so this is where it gets tricky. What do the Rockets see in him, and what do Tari see in himself?
And also what he gets signed for on the market.
Yeah.
You know, because I want Tari back as well. But there is a price point where I think you can't afford it.
He looked good at the Lakers. I know that a lot of people got him going there. He would look good with the Lakers. Now, his mom may not like it, but he would look good with the Lakers.
I think they just drafted Tari Eason.
You think so?
I like Cameron Carr. And they also spent all this money on Austin Reeves. So I don't know if they're going to sign another free agent.
Yeah.
Cameron Carr just might be their backup wing, you know?
So here's my thing, right? So So when you look at the Lakers, just real quick side note, I just don't think that they're going to be good for years to come. But, I mean, we'll see. But, I mean, I don't know.
Luka's so good, though.
So, I'm going to be honest with you. Watching Duke, I only watched one player. I only watched Boozer.
Duke, oh, yeah.
Yeah, when I watched Duke, so I don't know about the other guys.
He's going to be a 3-and-D wing guy. 3-and-D wing guy. To me, he'd be like a Tari replacement should you want to move on from Tari. And not that he's going to like be as good as Tari. It's just like he would play that position. Richie Saunders from BYU. Now, this is a guy that would be like go against the grain for what the Rockets do. Because he's a really good shooter, great shooter. I think he's sneaky athletic.
He got hurt.
Actually, tore his ACL.
Gotcha.
But even before then, was not a good defender. Okay. So, like, will the Rockets draft a poor defender? But if, like, they're looking for a scorer shooter in the second round, that's not named Emmanuel Sharp, I kind of like the idea of Richie Saunders. I think Richie Saunders has a chance to be a decent pro. Now, doesn't play much defense. And he's a wing. So, you know, you already have a lot of wings.
When he was healthy before he got hurt, they had a really good team, right? And he was playing very well, and I think that it took an adjustment for AJ once he was gone. But I heard that, you know, I didn't know that AJ wasn't as vocal as a lot of people thought he was.
It's tough as a freshman, right? And, yeah. I mean, BYU has 25-year-olds on their team.
Yeah, so they said that he stepped – sounds like the Indiana football team. But he stepped up, and, you know, AJ stepped up. But I heard that that the point guard was really, really good. I watched a couple
of
his games.
More of a two, I think.
I watched a couple of his games, and I really like his offensive game. And so, Jeremy, I keep saying I don't think that it really matters to the Rockets who they draft if he's a strong defender or not.
Yes.
I think that they can devise a defensive plan
I think they do.
Around him.
Now, I think they have a type.
Side note.
Uh-huh.
Would you take Uzan before you take Sharp?
No. Sharp would go higher than Uzan.
Why?
I think he's got more of an NBA profile. I think he's got a quicker path to play as well. I think Sharp can be a legit 3-and-D guy in the NBA.
So the year
– Uzan would be more of like a developmental point guard, and he's kind of older.
Do you think that his game kind of suffered this year because of Kingston Fleming?
I think his stats did.
Yeah.
I don't think it impacts his draft, though. I think he'd be drafted similar – he might even get drafted tonight. I think he'd be in the same range last year as he is this year. I don't think his draft stock took a hit or took a climb. I think it is what it is. I think it leveled off, if anything. Now, his production was less this year than last year.
Because he's a point guard.
Yeah.
Right. So
he kind of played a little bit more off the ball this year.
And one of the things that the Rockets need is a point.
Yeah.
And so if you go back 2 years prior, of course, like I said, I don't want to say his game suffered, but when you got a guy like Kingston Fleming on the floor with you, like, you know –
his stats did. I think it's fair to say his stats suffered.
And so with that being said, when you look at who he can be as far as 2 years prior,
uh-huh.
that's somebody I think that the Rockets could put into their lineup as far
draft
as
them both.
A backup. Draft them both?
Draft them both. One
I don't
play
think
the
both
wing,
of them
will
be available.
The point guard.
I like Sharp because he's shooting, but I like
Sharp
Uzan.
Sharp might go before the Rockets pick.
Yeah.
Uzan's projected to be late second. He might not get drafted. He might be an undrafted guy. He's on the fringe.
Well, but why not? Why wouldn't he, though?
I think people look at his age. They kind of hold that against him, which I don't like doing that personally because you sign him to, what, a two-year deal, whatever it is. He doesn't have a great three-point shot. I think it's good. Doesn't have a great three-point shot. He's not a guy that has tremendous athleticism either. Kind of like, you know, average to above-average athlete, not an elite athlete. So those would be the things that'd be knocks on Uzan.
But is he a good floor leader?
Oh, yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So if you put him on the floor, say the Rockets draft and they put him on the floor and he's the backup point guard to Fred, right?
That'd be tough, I think, in year one to be the backup point guard.
Yeah, true. But if you're going to play him, you put him on the floor a little bit. And so now he's in the game with other players who can score. All he needs to do is make sure that they're in the right position. Yeah. And so he has a point guard mentality as well, so he can see the floor better than maybe some
good
of the other
good
players.
Good defender, too, so yeah. He kind of fit what they want, especially that position. He's got pretty good size for the point guard position, too. Tyler Nickel from Vandy, this is another great shooter, length of the perimeter, but not a great defender. I think he's got a chance to be a better defender. Keyshawn Hall from Auburn, he's been all over the place, though, 4 schools in 4 years. He's really unique because he's a really good athlete. He's 6'7", 230 pounds. He's a wing who could probably be a small ball four.
Yeah.
He's a great scorer. He's a good shooter, but doesn't play a lick of defense. But I think he profiles to be a good defender. So it's kind of like it kind of would be a sneaky pick where it's like, okay, this guy, we already know we're getting a good offensive player. We think we can turn him into a good defensive player. Jacoby Gillespie, who's a microwave point guard off the bench.
Yeah.
Small but microwave type of point guard. Wyatt Fricks from Marshall, stretch four that I kind of like. Oakland from NC State, 6'6 point guard. Not really a shooter, though, so you have spacing issues that you currently already have. And then I especially with their second rounder, should they keep it? I want them to draft a developmental big. You know, Steven Adams getting older. I think they're going to try to trade Clint Capela, get out of that contract.
Oh, my. I did not like that trade. I did not like them bringing Clint Capela back.
Me either.
I was like, wait a minute, what are you doing?
I got roasted for saying that. But
roasted? Yeah. Why?
Because people, nostalgia, and like, oh, people love Capela. Like, I remember saying early in the year, like, this has been a bad signing. Clint Capela is going to be a non-factor in the playoffs. And people were like, oh, you don't know ball. And he was a non-factor in the playoffs.
Right, I would take Lemon Pepper Lou 2.0 before I take him. You know who Lemon Pepper Lou 2.0 is?
No.
Lou Cornette.
Okay.
Because he stopped the Magic City night in Atlanta. So I call him Lemon
Pepper. I didn't
realize
he stopped it.
Yeah, he was one of the biggest
proponents. What, he, like, ratted him out?
Oh, you remember he came out in the protest of it. And they weren't even playing the Spurs. Look it up.
Why did he protest of it?
Because he said that that's not what the NBA should be. That's not our.
Was it a COVID thing at the time?
No, this was last year.
Yeah, this is recent.
The jerseys.
And the performances.
Yeah, the Magic City.
Yeah, so that's why
I know that it was him.
Yeah, that's why I call him Lemon Pepper Lemon Pepper Lou 2.0. But so I guess my question would be when it comes to the Rockets, Jeremy, because I think that we're on different pages.
You want offense.
Well, what do you think the Rockets need? Maybe we're not looking at the same needs.
Well, I don't think anything in the second round is really a need. I think it's more kind of developmental, maybe plug a role that could become available because of injury. I don't think you're getting a guy who's going to play 20 minutes a game as rookie year.
Because I think that for me, what I feel like the Rockets have enough forwards. I feel like they don't have enough guards.
Point guards are like wings.
Point guards.
That's fair.
And point guards, and even, I mean, you could say a two guard as well. Because, you know, when Fred went down, uh-huh, and now you're looking at Josh Okogie. You're looking at, what's Drew Holiday's little brother? Aaron Holiday coming off the bench, right?
And then he's more of a point, though.
And that's what I'm saying. So they didn't have a point. So when you look, I'm looking, that's why I say.
I think a point guard's totally a need.
So that's what I'm saying with Uzan. And then you know what I like? He's a mixture in between a shooting guard and a point guard. I like Trey Donaldson out of Miami.
Okay, yeah.
I like him, even though that he can be a little sporadic at times, but he's a really good athlete, and I feel like he can – it's a plug-and-play type situation with him coming off the bench.
Yeah, he's a name that would intrigue me. The bigs that I think would be developmental bigs that I think could help down the road, not year one. The Onyedso guy at Virginia, Nelson at USF, Okpara at Tennessee, and then Brown at Duke. Just some names that, you know, catch my eye in round two. Junkie says Jaden Bradley and Copeland, true point guard and another freak athlete with a jump shot. I don't know if Bradley's an NBA guy. Jaden Bradley, great college point guard. I don't think he's an NBA guy.
Why
I
not?
Really don't. Kind of the same thing with Braden Smith. I don't think he's got NBA athleticism. I don't think his shot's good enough. I don't think he's a good defender. He's a good defender. And he would be like the maestro of an offense. I think he's good at leading an offense. But kind of a shaky shot. Shaky athleticism for me.
I know this may be a question that's out of left field, but So as much has been made about this draft, right, and I feel like, you know, people were fawning over this draft. Oh, my God, this draft is amazing. I felt like this draft was top-heavy. I feel like after, you know, after you get past a couple of those big names and now you're getting to players, like, I was like, all right, who is this guy?
I think it's always top-heavy.
So that's what I was going to ask you. As a guy who covers college basketball like you do, is the next wave of college basketball players – Next year in the NBA draft, is it going to be the same? Is it going to have the same height as this draft does?
No. No, this draft class is way better than next year's draft class.
So we're going right back to the Richeys and top picks like that.
I think this year's draft's pretty deep, actually.
Because Reed Shepard's draft was horrible.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. We're going back to that. So this is like the 1996 was the best draft ever, right?
I think it was 84. Yeah, Jordan, Olajuwon, Barkley, Stockton.
2003 was great, too.
03 was what? LeBron.
LeBron, Carmelo, D-Wade, Bosh. Wade.
But which one was the Tracy McGrady draft? 96?
Yeah.
Kobe, Tracy.
I think Tracy was 97. Vince Carter's 96.
Okay, so I'm trying to picture that Slam magazine.
Kobe was definitely 96. I thought it was Kobe and Vince.
Yeah, but Grady was a 97. Duncan was number 97. One in 97, so that was pretty good, too.
Yeah. And so I just don't think that we're going to, like...
Oh, yeah, Iverson was in the Kobe draft, too. He was number one pick.
Yep, and so that's what I'm saying.
Steve Nash.
A lot of good players, like, in those drafts. So I don't think that... But I don't think that this draft is going to go down as one of those generational drafts like that. And so, with that being said, I'm going to ask you the same question I asked DJ last week. I asked DJ last week, is the transfer portal killing college basketball?
No, I think it's helping it.
How?
Getting stronger teams.
Even with the one-and-dones?
Well, yeah. There's one-and-dones always existed.
I understand it, but
so
I'm
now
saying,
you're
like...
you're getting guys who are, like, in the first and the second round that, like, late first, early second, that are staying in college and collecting NIL now. So you're getting players that were fringe NBA guys that are staying, which helps the college game. And then now all of the top teams are kind of collecting the talent, so you're getting stronger teams.
So what I meant by what I said, even with the one-and-dones, because, of course, you're going to have the one-and-done guys. Like, when Cameron Boozer got to Duke, he knew, look, I'm only here. Like, I'm only passing my classes in the fall semester. In spring, I'm not going to even show up. I'm only working out. So with those other guys, though, so now as a coach, do you go out and now you're trying to get these other guys to put around him throughout the transfer portal. But even at the end of that season, how do you get those guys to stay?
NIL. NIL money, like.
But what if a college is offering more NIL? So now they get the transfer.
Well, they stay in the college game though, so it's beneficial for the college game. It might not be beneficial for that specific program, but it's beneficial for the player pool of the college game, right? If you have more talent in the sport, I think it's better for the sport.
I just don't. So I guess because I grew up watching a lot of college basketball.
Yeah,
right?
But you whenever you were growing up watching, you probably didn't get one and done as much. Like they're probably sticking around.
Yeah.
So you got some really good teams that's the players stuck.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, I just don't know, like, where is the hype? Like usually, like, there used to be, like, years and years of, and it maybe it had a lot to do with the one and done, but it used to be years and years of hype of college basketball. And so now even, like, I'm going to be honest with you. Some of these players, I see them on one team, and then I look up and I was like, hey, when did they get to that team?
Yeah. I mean, the player movement is tough to keep track of, for sure.
Like the guy that, of course I can't think of his name, but. The one who played for Michigan, he played hurt, is going to Golden State.
Oh, Lindenberg.
Lindenberg. He started out in a JUCO.
Yeah.
Then he went to UAB.
Yep.
And then he went to Michigan.
Yep.
Well, I never heard of him until he got to Michigan.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. And so then you look up, but you look at players and you're saying, okay, so I thought he was with.
Yeah.
So when did he get there? So that's
all
I'm asking.
It's just different. I think the sport's fine. It's just different. Now it's like a European soccer model. Where, like, the player movement happens quickly, and they're also elevating where they're at. So, like, JUCO.
Gotcha.
Group of Five, Power Four. So, like, there is a lot more player movement. It is tricky. But I don't think – I personally don't think it's bad for the sport.
Gotcha. Okay.
But I might be in the minority there. People don't like it. All right, what are your biggest questions with training camp looming for the Texans? 713-780-ESPN. Jeremy and Joe with Sarge filling in for Joe on ESPN 97.5 live from Tom's Watch Bar downtown.
ESPN. 97.5.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 26th through July 6th.
Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only, some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.